Being on the spiritual theme of the month of sanctuary, I want to tell you about absolutely one of the most impressive sanctuary leaders ever to preach in this pulpit, the Reverend André Trocmé of La Chambonne, France. And you may have heard about him before, but the story of his life and those around him deserves hearing again and again. Reverend Trocmé preached in this pulpit after the end of the Second World War. Let's go back to the summer of 1942 in the small village of La Chambonne, France, where German officials arrived and pulled Trocmé into the town square. The Germans told Trocmé they knew the details of the operation of saving Jews. They possessed the names of all those hiding and demanded that they be handed over immediately. Reverend Trocmé refused. The Germans left without ransacking the village. Immediately, Trocmé utilized two of his main resources, the organization of the Boy Scouts and the Bible study groups, to get the word out to the entire village that Jewish people were not safe that night. All refugees were to hide in the forest until further notice. By the end of 1942, many throughout Europe knew La Chambonne was one of the safest places to send Jewish refugees for food, shelter, and a safe passageway to free countries. La Chambonne grew in effectiveness, eventually saving the lives of thousands of people, plural, thousands of people. During the time of the operations, friends on the outside grew in effectiveness, and one technique that was used on occasion was Trocmé's phone would ring. An unidentified caller said two or three words indicating when the village would be raided. And in response, the well-organized community quickly informed everyone involved, hide the refugees now. Eventually, Trocmé coordinated with top Quaker officials, which internationally dedicated Chambonne as a primary refuge for children. They were trying to get out. In the cold, snowy evening of February of 1943, the Vichy police, who were under the command of the German troops and the Gestapo, showed up, knocked on the door of the parish. Reverend Trocmé was out in the surrounding countryside visiting parishioners, and his wife Magda answered the door, and she knew very quickly that these officers represented danger and possibly death for herself, her children, her husband, the entire village, citizens and refugees alike. And she invited them in, helped them next to the fire, served them dinner as they all waited for André to come back from his pastoral visits. By the end of the evening, the two primary leaders of the La Chambonne Sanctuary, André and his associate pastor, Edouard Thies, were hauled away to an internment camp. In the camp a month later, the Vichy police told Trocmé and Thies they could be released from the camp and allowed to return to their village if they signed certain documents. The papers, which had already been prepared, were presented, and they stated that Trocmé and Thies would follow all orders of the French Vichy government. Pastors read the documents, talked for a moment, and declared that those statements would be violations of their conscience. They refused to sign. They clarified that they would not follow the orders of the French government precisely because it was sending Jewish people to the Germans and hence to their death. They said in their biographies, walking back to the barracks after that declaration, they felt that it was very possible that they had just essentially committed suicide. And then what happened next is very enigmatic incident in World War II history. Orders came from high up in the Vichy government to set them free. Chakmé and Thies can go back. The order came down. It was getting near to the war. There are some interesting theories. The French were maybe starting to re-pivot towards America. Chakmé and Thies went back to the village and re-engaged immediately, within hours, in sanctuary operations. So there are many miraculous aspects, and I know a number of you have read about this. This always chokes me up because I know Dave Bonanno was actually kind of expert in this history. He loved this history. Dave's not with us anymore. But we know, many of us know, many of the national churches of Europe, including Catholic and Protestants, made few efforts to stop the Holocaust, and in some incidences, churches complied and assisted. Fortunately, we can say that many Unitarian and Universalists got active in Europe. It's part of how we have the history of the chalice. The chalice was a symbol of a safe house for those escaping in the Underground Railroad away from the Holocaust. But we all know that we need to look back and learn of how faith calls us to act when it's most critical. And so with that in mind, we can ask, you know, what happened in La Chambonne to create such remarkable light contrasting with all of that darkness? What can we glean from that? Well, I think it's good to dial in to our present situation here in Philadelphia, in America, as a start to that, because we also know that there are lights of love and courage glowing in Philadelphia today in efforts of sanctuary. Last month, our sister congregation, the First United Methodist Church of Germantown, publicly declared themselves as a sanctuary again, just as FUMCOG did in the 80s. This part of the new sanctuary effort is specifically brought in two families, one Honduran and one Jamaican, and it's an effort amongst a coalition of folks to stop the deportation of two specific families. And a number of us, I see Sandy's here, a number of us have been involved in this. Yvonne Marlier has been a leader for us. I've been involved in it. Both families, one from Jamaica, one from Honduras, are mixed status. Some members are undocumented. Some have green cards. Some are U.S. citizens. Both families have been living in the U.S. for years and complying with everything that immigration, ICE, required of them. The Jamaican family parents, Oneita and Clive, came here from Jamaica 15 years ago, and Suyapa and her children have fled Honduras, where the drug war and the narco violence is devastating to her village. And where's Yvonne? Yvonne's right here, if you stand up. Yvonne is going to be at a table in the fellowship hour helping you see if you're interested. If your heart calls you to go over there, you can see how you might help the families over at FUMCOG, shopping, cooking, tutoring. I'm going to sign a petition you're invited to as well if you wish and read it, and it resonates to asking for the stopping of the deportation of these two families. And in 2 weeks, on the morning of the Day of the Dead mariachi band, just putting in that plug on the side, we're going to have, I lost the name, Camacho, Miss Camacho, a leader from, I have a leader from the New Sanctuary Movement is coming to talk at 9:15 that morning. You can check it out. Sanctuaries happening. You know, we don't have to go all the way back to World War II to think of what happens, or the amazing Underground Railroad of here, of America, the people who participate. How do you get involved in this? I think, in different ways, rebuilding together Philadelphia is part of sanctuary, which so many of we need. We have many people in the neighborhoods that need help. We need to help each other have safe, sound homes and neighborhoods. So Rebuilding Philly is an effort with a lot of people, government officials, nonprofit organization, people in the neighborhoods, to make house at a time safe and hopefully happy for people to be themselves. Where do you find the motivation to come to your day and help make Sanctuary happen? Maybe it's from witnessing some of the things going on in Kensington. If you read the New York Times Magazine last Sunday, I encourage everybody, it's not right what's happening in America. It's not right what's happening with people in Kensington. Andre Trocmé saw so much devastation in the First World War, and so when he met a conscientious objector, he said, I'm in. That resonates for me. He said, Jesus' teachings are simple and critical, and one of them is we should help, not hurt. That's it. That's how he got to be a rabbi. He said, you know, help, not hurt. And Lashon Bone, they did. Just imagine how much motivation must have been. Not very big village. Over the course of years, thousands of people come through. Think of what it did to your food supply, your clothing distribution. They split up sleeping quarters all the time. The dedication of Sanctuary impacted kitchens, bathrooms, living rooms, bedrooms, and barns. They were motivated. And in my research, I see the motivation that was there. A lot of it came not out of gloom and doom, dedication to filling this obligation. But there was an on-fire agape going on. In other words, there was almost an ecstatic love that, if you read about this community of La Chambon, whether they were doing their Bible study group or out giving a pastoral call to someone suffering from alcoholism, they were excited and enjoying being a part of helping and breaking down social barriers. And I believe that if we're honest and look around, even though there's so many hard things in the news and tough stuff going on in our communities, in our nation, we have a lot of those same motivations and experiences motivated to create Sanctuary happening all the time. We can get skewed towards looking towards the negative, but meditate on that positive that you feel and see in your life. Right here, we have the Sanctuary of Contagious Caring, where people like Chloe Raven, Parvati comes up and Chloe, you know, dances around in her pirouette in the fellowship hall 8 months later, saying how kindness can help mend situations when people feel broken down. And she was dedicated all day to her sister. She remembers the story. What stories do you remember of creating Sanctuary with and for others? We are trying and embracing Sanctuary every day here. In a world of too much fear, ignorance, and animosity toward transgender folks, we're in a project of boosting of our LBGT welcoming, our transgender welcoming. I feel called absolutely to be a part of that. And we've invited people. It's not a mandate, it's a warm invitation. If you wish, you can put your pronouns that you prefer on your name tag. My name tag, which I lost and can't show, I lost my name tag for the name tag sermon. It's really great, Ken. Mine says his, him, he. And you might wonder, you know, is this too much? Well, no, I believe it's absolutely not too much. It's probably barely enough, because in a world, this is a way for all of us to engage. If a high amount of us engage and do this practice out of care and respect, then folks who too often feel discriminated and put down by ignorance or hate can feel we're all in. And everybody just put your pronouns if you wish. It's a way of making Sanctuary. We don't want anyone to feel singled out in claiming their humanity. No, this is a place we praise your humanity. You're here, we're glad. There are people making sanctuary every Sunday here. We have folks who come to church no matter the weather, no matter the preacher, no matter the music, no matter the religious education for the kids. There are folks who simply come to open the door and welcome visitors. Magda Trakme talked poignantly about a refugee who sees closed door, closed door, closed door. That's a big symbol that can bring them down. So we don't always physically open the doors, but in our behavior, we open the door when we greet one another. All of us were visitors to community at one time. You may be a first-time visitor today. If so, I hope you feel us opening to you. Most of us have been refugees in some shape or form, whether that's from addiction or depression or loneliness or feeling life let you down. And we all know the importance of somebody learning our name, listening to our story, maybe inviting us to warm up by the fire and feeding us with a meal when we were hungry. When a host shows radical hospitality or makes an uncomfortable sacrifice, something that might make their day a little less comfortable, it changes our lives. We know. I believe you've experienced that. Here we have it happening. We have the opportunity happening all the time. The small group ministries, which you can join. The loving kindness meditation group tonight. The yoga on a weekly basis. The tai chi. These are places to open doors for each other, to come in and be you. And let somebody else be themselves. Every day we can invite somebody in some kind of way into our lives, start a fire, warm the bones. Every day we can share stories and at least a little bit of bread on the table. We are a sanctuary of love, courage, and hope. Here we're committed to making a safe space for each and every person to pay attention to life and fully experience becoming a part of the dance of aliveness. Blessings be. Amen.